Acts chapter 1 tonight. Excited for our teens starting up next week. I'm thankful how God answers our prayers and He hears us. It's good to know those things. Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. There abode both Peter and James, and they give a list. That upper room, they spent some time up in the upper room. If you jump down to verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and mother of Jesus and with his brethren. A little while ago, we preached a message on the upper room, the value of the upper room, the things that can be learned in the upper room. I want to show you quickly tonight, starting there, if we jump over one full chapter, chapter 2. So we have a group of people starting in the upper room. They come out of the upper room. Listen now. They came out of the upper room and the world has never been the same since. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost, this was about to be a day of Pentecost unlike any other Pentecost feast. The Holy Spirit comes down. The Bible says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. In verse 14, and Peter, having just spent time in the upper room, having just been filled with the Holy Ghost, unlike anything he has experienced before, verse 14 says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. Look at verse 15. I thought this was interesting. He says this, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. He had to explain their conduct, saying, don't worry, we're not drunk. I've never been in a situation where I've had to say that. I've never been accused of being, oh, wait, that's incorrect. Long time ago, I was driving home. I don't want to lie. Long time ago, I was driving home. I was living at my dad's. My mom just recently passed away. It was late in the night, not late in the night, but it was late, and I was driving, and I had egg cartons sitting on the floor of my car, and I must have crossed the lane without using my blinker, you know, and I didn't realize blue lights come on. He pulls me over and he asked me if I was drinking. I said, no, I haven't been drinking. I've drank a day in my life. And he goes, explain to me that, and he points to the egg cartons. I'm like, they're empty. I live right around the corner. I'm fine. We're good. And he had his head way in there. So I guess I have been accused of being drunk one time. No ticket, nothing. Have a good night. Just make sure you use your blinkers, he said. So there you are. But not too often are you accused of being drunk when you're not drunk. It made me think of the passage when... So let's go back a second, regroup here. Kind of derailed there. That I had to make sure I was telling the truth. These men spent some time in the upper room. What are they doing? They're praying. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit of God comes. And Peter speaks publicly for the first time, having just seen the resurrected Christ, spending time in prayer and supplication. And now he has the power of the Holy Ghost. And he comes out and he says, and their behavior, their conduct, and he has to explain it. He says, hey, we're not drunk. Why? Because a drunk character acts a certain way. When someone's drunk, they're under the influence of a substance, an abused substance. Drunkenness is a sin. And he had to explain, hey, we're not drunk. Turn over, hold your hand in Acts, but turn over to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says this, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Kind of a similar thought we're conducting here. What happened to Peter and the other 11? Say, what about Judas? Yeah, but they added Matthias, all right? So what happened? Well, the Holy Spirit got a hold of their life. They were completely yielded to the use of God in every way. And he had to say, don't worry, we're not drunk. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Similar thoughts as Acts chapter 2. I'm thinking about a drunk person. Again, I've never been drunk. I spend no time in bars. But I've seen it. I know the conduct of someone that is taken with alcohol. Their words are influenced by the alcohol. Their conduct has been influenced by the alcohol. Many a days, and maybe you could... if I'm saying something wrong, you can let me know. But a person that has been given to alcohol spends their money frivolously. They'll waste it on alcohol. They'll wake up the next day not knowing where they are and not knowing what happened and not knowing where all their money went. Quick to fight. I thought, man, that's exactly what we need. We need to... Well, 1 Timothy chapter 6 says this. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. You know what we need? We need some drunkenness on the Holy Spirit of God. Quick to fight. Quick to stand up for the Word of God. Be frivolous... liberal with our money towards the things of God. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, that it would so much change our conduct and our words. You know what? I dare say we ought to have some drunkenness on the Holy Spirit. If we go back to Acts chapter 2, he says, don't worry, we're not drunk. He goes on and he explains some things, and Peter preaches unlike he has ever preached before. We come to chapter 3, but a few moments later, people are being added to the church by the thousands. Say, how is that? The Holy Spirit of God got a hold of 11 lives, 12 lives. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. These are now Peter and John, a different Peter and John from Acts chapter 1. A different Peter and John from Acts chapter 2. They have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit of God in their life. They're now walking into the temple, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. We're going to read through and then we're going to dissect this a little bit. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Oh, that's good. Walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Our message tonight is a simple message. We have a man lame from his mother's womb. That means he was born lame. That means this man has never taken one step on his own. Lame. Everywhere he went, he was carried. The Bible says, and a certain man came from his mother's womb who was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate. At the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Doing some quick math in my head. Every day, somebody carried him to the temple. And if you go in the temple at the time of prayer, every day like you were supposed to, that means you would pass this person no less than 700 times a year. The Bible says that he'd been like that since a child. He was born that way, and now he's a man. Every 10 years, that's 7,000 times you pass this person. There was one temple. This man was carried, but listen now, but never cured. He was helped, but never healed. See, there was a group of people that certainly were a blessing. Maybe a friendly greeting. Hello, sir, how are you today? And they would go by, and it's not unreasonable to expect alms. Alms are something that we should give. Three areas in which we should give, right? Tithes, offering, and alms. What are alms? That's just financial help to those that can't do things. It's right. And every day someone would walk by, and maybe he wasn't blind. He could see who it was. And hi, Mr., I don't know, Levi, and thank you. And the coin would drop in the thing. And every single day someone was kind and gracious. He was outside of the temple. Helped. But he could never be healed. He was carried there. But never cured. It was not unreasonable to expect people to help him, to carry him. When Peter and John stopped to talk to him, he expected, the Bible says, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. But he asked two guys that were poor. They didn't have anything. You think Peter was lying? He says, I don't have any money. Anybody ever lie? Anybody? Anybody ever lie to a homeless guy? Hey, sir, can you help me out? I just want to get a cup of coffee. I don't have anything. And you can feel the $20 in your pocket. You can feel it. I know it's just a piece of paper, but you can feel it. I can't help it. No, sir, not today. I have no cash on me. And maybe that's true. Think Peter was lying? Think as he was walking in the temple, and the guy says, "Hey, can you help me out? Could you put some money in my cup? I can't work. I can't do anything." And he says, "No, I don't have any silver and gold." And he feels the coin in the back of his pocket. I don't think that was the case. I think he was truly poor, but he had something. No, Peter and John carried something much better than coins. See, what this man needed was a miracle. What Peter and John had was, although they might have been penniless, they had the power of God. Physically, they might not have had any possessions, but yet they possessed all things. See, our problem is we have all possessions, yet are powerless because we fail to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We're like the hundreds or thousands of people that walk by the layman every single day with the ability to help, but yet we pass by. Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." This is a man that is, by his own words, confessed that he would be willing to die for Christ. We say it really loud, we want to be like the New Testament church. These guys were willing to die for Christ. We have a hard time living for Him. And as we walk by the lame every single day, where a person, what do they need? I'm not talking about homeless now. I'm talking spiritually. What do they need? They need the exact same thing that this guy needed. They needed a miracle, and we have the message to help them. We get so concerned about the people across the world that we fail to care about the people that live across the street. Peter and John, what do? They take him by the right hand, and they bring him with them into the temple, and they worship together. So I'm going to ask you tonight, who is it that you're walking by on a regular basis? Oh, they might not be physically lame, but there they are sitting in the cubicle, sitting in the aisle, opening the front door to your neighbor's house. Who is it that's lame in your life, sitting there, and you'll bring them cookies, and you'll make nice things, and you'll maybe, but what they need is to be cured. They don't need help. They need healing. Just like this lame man. But we are so content with just giving them a token of kindness rather than the message of the gospel. I'm going to ask you one question. Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? Say, what does that mean? That means that are you living for the lost? Is your life about seeing people come to Christ? We live in an America and a world that is so utterly selfish that all we care about is us. Know what we need? We need some drunkenness. Drunkenness on the Holy Spirit of God that will just be willing to spend money, that will be willing to allow the Holy Spirit of God to alter our speech and alter our habits and alter our actions. But yet we come in and out of the temple failing to see the real needs that are around us. I'm praying more than ever before that God, in any way He sees fit, that He would use me, that He would use you, and all the people saw Him walking and praising God, that He would get glory. Are we concerned about the people that live across the street? Are we concerned enough that we would allow their needs to change our schedule? Peter and John are just trying to get in the temple to worship. Peter and John are just trying to get in to pray. And a man with a need slowed them down. We sang that song tonight, "Rescue the Perishing." I'd like to review it just quickly and then we'll be done. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring ones, lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty, to save. That's doing more than carrying. That's caring. That's doing more than helping. That's healing. That's bringing a miracle and a message to those that need it. How about you tonight? Are you burdened for the lost? Are you so consumed or have a care for the lost that it changes your actions? That it changes your words? Have you reached out to rescue those that are perishing? Tonight I'd like to take a few moments and pray together again as a family for these very thoughts. Wouldn't it be a shame that if we get to heaven someday and the Lord shows us a scenario like this where we went in and out of the temple passing by the lame man. Lord, help me to see him. Verse 4, Peter says, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, you got to first see it before you can ever act on it. I want to see him. I want to see those that needs, that have needs, and give them the greatest answer than anybody. Hey, I'm much like Peter and John. Silver and gold have I none, but I got something so much better than silver and gold. I have the Lord Jesus Christ that can solve your greatest problem, sin. Let's consider tonight and ask God, will you help me to rescue the perishing?